Item number 12, from the Office of the Sheriff, submitting an informational written report informing county officials of the emergency state of staffing in the Office of the Sheriff. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Inspector Schmidt.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. Rather, I think, somewhat extensive document was forwarded to all of the supervisors regarding the current, what we'll say is short of a staffing crisis right now within the Sheriff's Office. I want to preface my brief remarks by stating, first of all, with a very sincere thank you to each and every supervisor for what they did for the 2014 budget. I will say that every single supervisor very graciously invited me into their office and discussed the proposed county executive budget that was significantly different than what our office had presented to the county exec's office earlier or in the middle late part of last year. What we submitted was nowhere near what came out in his proposal. So therefore, first of all, we know, the sheriff knows and is grateful for what this board attempted to do to mitigate as much as possible the disastrous and, quite frankly, very myopic budget that was presented on behalf of the county executive's office. Very quickly, just to state a couple of the issues involved here, when we were handed that particular budget, it basically built in a $4.5 million structural deficit. Obviously, that's a huge amount of money, and there's multiple issues that are associated with that. There are consequences when a public safety budget is cut that dramatically and literally decimating staffing and supervision. We definitely, as a sheriff's office, felt it would be appropriate to simply let the board know about the potential liability concerns for the county as a result of the adopted budget. Very simply, our deputies and our correctional officers are being stretched way, way beyond what would normally be a 40-hour work week. The sheriff has made it extremely plain that safety overrides all other considerations. In other words, he's not going to skimp on public safety simply because the resources were dramatically cut by the county exec's office. We have a job to perform. The sheriff takes that and demonstrates his willingness to provide the public safety that he was placed in charge of as the sheriff of this county. In our 2014 budget request, we asked for an additional 137 positions based on over the last several years we've lost that and more positions within our budget. And therefore, we look to 137 new positions. Not only were those not allowed in the proposed or the budget that was presented by the executive's office, but there were additional cuts to our current staffing levels. Just to point out a couple of the huge repercussions of that particular budget, just the simple thing of civil process that involves the service of papers to individuals around this county. One of the key issues involved there is the temporary restraining orders. Everyone in this county is more than aware of what happens when domestic issues happen, when restraining orders aren't served and so forth in a timely manner. The Azana Spa is certainly one of those issues that brought this to the forefront. We have to get those temporary restraining orders served within we work to get them done within a 24-hour period. We need 16 deputies to fulfill that one simple function. The exec's budget knocked us down to 5 deputy sheriffs. So it's like, well, do you not get it done on time? No, the sheriff's office said we will get it done on time. Therefore, where do the other 11 bodies come from? We have to move them around. We have to work people on overtime and strain them beyond what we consider a reasonable amount of time that an officer should have to work during a 7-day work period. Again, public safety should override all other considerations. not only is a public safety an issue, but now we're into an officer safety issue. We really haven't pushed this before, but it's time that we need to bring this to the forefront. When you have officers that have to work 16-hour shifts, that lose their off days on a continual basis, that are mandatory to work, now we're talking about an officer safety issue. Large volumes of overtime, quality of life issues where officers simply, they don't see their children, they don't see their significant others, they're tired, they're fatigued, but the work has to go on and the work does get accomplished. However, is that potential for performance deficits based on fatigue and so forth? Absolutely. One thing, and I'll just touch on a couple of more quick issues. We live in a post 9/11 world. We have comment was made via the exec's office recently about officers sitting at checkpoints in courthouse security. Our officers don't sit at checkpoints for fun or for any other issue. In today's day and age, when guns, bombs, weapons of any sort can infiltrate the courthouse complex, our officers literally every day when they put on the uniform put themselves in a great deal of danger and potentially life-threatening situations every single day. One of the reasons why we can meet in this room this morning with a relative, I would say a relative certainty that no weapons are getting in here outside of those on sworn law enforcement officers is because our officers are protecting the courthouse complex today. It's a very important function that they do, and certainly one which is a standard across the country. Supervision has been decimated. We have literally 12 sergeants, a reduction of 8 in this year, to cover 24/7 coverage for the following: the airport, the expressway, county institution, courts, civil process, criminal investigations, the training academy, communications, our tactical enforcement unit, which includes the lakefront and the parks, which I know is of extreme concern to you supervisors as well as your constituents, our bomb squad, our SWAT, our canine. All of these things, we have 12 sergeants for a 24/7 operation that were approved in the current budget. That obviously, just by its face, is a ridiculous number. How do we take care of it? Overtime, making folks have to, our officers having to work continual hours and way in excess of what we would consider to be appropriate. I'll simply close by this stating that the sheriff's position is simply this, and I've stated it two times already: safety overrides all other considerations. We have to spend the money. We have to put people on overtime. What's the result, or what is the request then? And simply this. We asked for 137 additional positions in the 2014 budget. We still need 137 new positions. We still need our supervisors replaced that were stripped out of the budget this particular year. Not more overtime. Our people are stretched to the end. We are not asking for more overtime money. We don't want more overtime money at this point. What we want is 137 new positions. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Cullen.
Thank you, Inspector. I just had one question that you didn't touch on in your presentation. I'm trying to recall the title of the one position that the county executive eliminated and the board did not put in. Was it communications director or the public information director, that position? And then that position was not put in the budget, and I think we were informed that if that position was not in the budget, the person who held that position would not be employed anymore. It seems to me I've seen that person's name in things coming forward. I wondered what happened with that person, what happened with that position, and did their job title and duties change, and then subsequently did their compensation package change?
Mr. Chairman, that individual was placed into a new position. She's now director of our Administrative Services Bureau. and her job assignment has changed based on her new position.
And her compensation? Has that changed?
To my knowledge, and that would be more of an HR discussion, there was a very slight increase in salary based on the positional change.
Well, I mean, I think we worked in good faith last budget cycle, and how did this happen? I mean, I don't know this person, never met this person, but you had people here who were willing to fight for this person and, you know, keep that job, and that didn't happen. The majority of the board didn't do that, under the threat that if that position was eliminated, that person wouldn't have a job, but somehow that person does have a job. So how are we to take what you say at face value if somehow things magically end up working?
Mr. Chairman, the point of our presentation this morning, what was presented in our papers that we submitted in our report, this has to do with officer safety this morning. This has to do with public safety. That's the message. We need 137 new deputy and correctional officers positions total. That's what the issue is this morning, and that's what was presented in our report.
Go ahead.
I understand that, but it's also a budgetary document, I think. And so in order for us to get our hands around the budget, we have to, you know, look at positions in the department. So, I mean, this is, if you have positions that are there that could maybe be eliminated so that we can hire more deputies, then that's an alternative that we can consider. So that's why I think it's relevant to this discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Schmidt, then Supervisor Roman West.
I'm sorry.
Inspector Schmidt.
Okay, thank you, sir. One position does not replace 137 officers that are needed. That's, I guess, the simplest remark for that. Thank you.
Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Inspector Schmidt, bear with me because I was maybe embarrassingly. I was going over my packet very last minute last night and wasn't able to call you or to get information on this item. In regards to the current situation at the Sheriff's Department, I know that there was an audit conducted of the Sheriff's division, but what specifically was the scope of that audit? Was it the entire Sheriff's Department, or we just got an audit within the last 3 months, 6 months, regarding, I believe it was the expenditures of the Sheriff's Department. Was it the training budget?
Mr. Chairman, we've had a couple of different audits done by the Department of Audit, and quite frankly, I'm not 100% sure I know to which one you're referring at this point.
Okay. I guess my question is, Mr. Chairman, is whether or not it would be prudent for this committee to have an audit done of the Sheriff's Department. And when I say that, I mean the entire department, the jail, the freeway division, everything. Because I am a supervisor that represents a central city district. My district does rely heavily on the Sheriff's Department. I am constantly contacting Inspector Schmidt or Inspector Bailey and asking them for more resources to be sent to my district. My district does feel the difference from 2004 when I got here, when the Sheriff's Department was fully staffed and we did have full operations, to now. In fact, I believe it was 3 years ago in the summer, Kosciuszko Park was like a third world country because we had no sheriff's deputies there. And there was a noticeable difference, not just in the park, but in the neighborhoods. And that's where my concern is because the sheriff's, department, the areas that they monitor when they're not there, we do see increases in crime. and I'm not interested in that for my district. And so what I really am interested in is making sure that we have a sheriff's department that is being run optimally and that we are using our resources. And I know Supervisor Cullen just provided an example, and maybe that is absolutely what needs to be done, and maybe that was a great decision by the sheriff's department to transfer that person to a position which happened to be a position that's paid more than the person's salary. I know that within county government, we do tend to move our employees around and try to find different positions for them. We're going through that right now out at BHD, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I have an issue as an elected official with the sheriff, who is another elected official, coming forward and telling me that he's short 137 officers and that he cannot do his job. That is very troubling to me. And so what I'm interested in is finding out, how do we get to the bottom of this, and what is the solution? What is the best solution? And so I don't know if Mr. Hare is here, if he could, you know, discuss with me what a time frame may be if we were to conduct an audit of the Sheriff's Division, if that would assist me with getting a better idea of where staffing is at. The other thing that I would like kind of clarity on is why we have courthouse security if we have the Sheriff's Department that's willing to do the courthouse security. It seems to me like we're kind of double dipping. And so we have courthouse security, and in fact, yesterday I came in and wasn't able to find my ID, and so I did end up going through the courthouse security, taking off my boots and the whole nine yard. It was awesome, and I was already late for committee. But, I mean, they seem like they're doing a very thorough job. So that added layer with the sheriff, is that, you know, is that 110% necessary? Obviously, I want to do whatever is the safest for our constituents. Here in Milwaukee County, I want the courthouse to be safe. Domestic violence, divorce, all kinds of things happen in this building that people get upset about, you know, sentencing. And so we need to make sure that this building is safe. And, in fact, I did put something forward in the 2014 budget because I have concerns after learning what other counties do, smaller counties do, in regards to what we do here in Milwaukee County. But at the same time, I want to be able to tell the taxpayers in Milwaukee County, this is 110% definitely what we need to be doing, is having not only courthouse security, but in addition, that additional layer with the sheriff's deputy standing next to the door all day. And so, again, I don't know if Mr. Hare could speak to whether or not he feels this is relevant or whether or not this is something that his division can handle at this point. But, I mean, I feel like we do need answers as to what exactly is going on here.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor. And before Mr. Hare comes up, I want to recollect that there was some testing by the Sheriff's Department as to whether weapons could get in. So I think that, and it was proven that
right.
such could happen. So that would be a great reason why those deputies would be
right.
at that door.
And, Mr. Chairman, I do understand that, but at the same time, I guess my question is could the sheriff come in and do a day or two or three days of training with our own courthouse security to teach them how to be more effective versus using his deputies to stand at the door and kind of redo or monitor what is already being done? Or is there another type of security system that we could use? Do we need, you know, we do the full body deal right now. Do we need x-ray scanners? What, you know, is there a way that we could maybe make an investment in some equipment that would then free these deputies up to be back out on the street and do what they need to do?
Inspector Schmidt.
Mr. Chairman, the supervisor, I appreciate the input. Here's the real issue. In today's, and again, I'm going to use the Pulse 9/11 concept, you need armed deputies that are well-trained, highly skilled, and know how to react to weaponry that can get through checkpoints, not just weapons themselves, but potential incendiary devices, better known as bombs. Trying to train unarmed individuals who don't have a police mindset in today's day and age just exposes the county to more potential danger. knowing who comes into this building, the elected officials, the high-profile individuals, the daily citizens that come in here to conduct business. This is a center where across the country is prone to potential violent attacks. Therefore, what I would simply put forward as a potential better solution is to increase the number of deputies, basically turn this over to the sheriff. Let us provide the security that's needed in our current society when there is constant threats that could enter the courthouse. Attempting to train someone to be an armed officer when they're not even licensed to carry a gun and so forth just will not provide the type of security that sworn law enforcement can. Thank you.
And before Mr. Hare comes forward, I want to offer that the sheriff was very, I would say, prudent mm-hmm. a number of years ago when he decided that he would reduce the number of sworn officers in the jail for more corrections officers because it costs less mm-hmm. to have such individuals in those spots. And he has constantly gone in that direction. So I know that Inspector Schmidt indicated this document has been sent to everybody, mm-hmm. and I'll ask to have it received and placed on file later. But Mr. Hare?
So moved. And Mr. Chairman, I do recognize the chairman or that the sheriff has always been very prudent with his budget, which again is why, I am very concerned about the fact that Inspector Schmidt is sitting in front of us and telling us that we're 137 deputies short and that they are now at a point where they are going to have a hard time doing their jobs. And mind you, that it's not even warm weather yet. Warm weather is yet to come. And with warm weather in Milwaukee, as we know, comes an increase in crime and violence. And so I would be interested in again, making sure that the sheriff is staffed at a level that everybody in Milwaukee County can be comfortable with.
Thank you, Supervisor Romo. Mr. Hare, Director Hare.
Chairman, members of the committee, Inspector Schmidt is right. We've done a lot of work in the last year or so at the sheriff's office. You recall the audit of inmate trust funds, the federal forfeiture audit, the look we took at alternatives to incarceration with electronic monitoring. But I think the report that's more on point to the discussion today is one we issued a year ago. It was our discussion about the key concepts for evaluating the effectiveness of service within the sheriff's office. It was a lot of data, a lot of information about mandatory versus discretionary services, some performance indicators within the sheriff's operation, staffing levels and such. To your point, though, to Supervisor Roma West's point, I think one of the strongest conclusions that came out of that audit is that the sheriff has a lot of discretion in terms of how he deploys. I mean, the exec and the county board make the decision about resources. The sheriff then has a significant amount of authority under the state constitution to deploy as he sees fit. Obviously, the sheriff also has the authority, as a free citizen, to also make a pitch for more resources. Mm-hmm. His position is that he needs more staff. I would suggest that as you weigh your adopted budget with the report you have before you today, it might be helpful to revisit that audit and look at some of the things that we've identified as discretionary versus mandatory. I have to say that the sheriff disagrees with some of our conclusions, but that's kind of a natural outcome of, different looks at the same subject. But I think that report does have a lot of data you can use to get to a comfort level as to whether to find a way to acknowledge the staffing concerns and meet them or to find some other way to deal with the question before you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I could request that for our next finance and audit meeting that Mr. Hare present that audit again and that before that we each receive a copy of it, so that we can go through it, because again, it is a year ago, a lot of audits ago. And so I'd like to be able to revisit that and to see just exactly where that audit falls in line with the request that's currently being made and with also the 2014 budget.
Supervisor Romo-West, that's a very, very appropriate
Mr. Chairman, April 2013 was a busy month, as you may all recall. We'd be happy to reinstitute
the
discussion on that.
Thank you, Mr. Heron. You do you do exceptional work. It's just that, again, with the Sheriff's Department, I know that we've seen a couple of audits, and I wasn't exactly sure the scope of those audits, but definitely would like to make sure that we have that information.
Inspector Schmidt.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I just want to add that there are, when you look at and included in your document are some of the constitutional and statutory mandates that the sheriff is under. I just want to point to one particular one, which happens to be the Milwaukee County Jail, of which there are 960 inmates on a continual basis, have been, always will be, unless the facility itself changes. That in itself, we saw a reduction of 50 correctional officers over the last several years in the county executive budgets. That is something that's not discretionary. Where did those 50 officers go and why are they gone? And I point out in our report that when the House of Correction and the Sheriff's Office split, that if you'll notice the supervisory and ratio compared to the Milwaukee County jails and the number of officers versus the Milwaukee County jail and the number of inmates, that you will probably find a disparity. I'll leave that to your conclusion. In addition, the other constitutionally mandated things, which are, again, outlined in your report, one of the key issues is the sheriff is in charge of providing public safety. Again, he's the professional, 35 years in law enforcement. I'll just say this, as I started out our presentation, I made it very clear that every single supervisor invited me into their office and listened to our needs, and that is greatly appreciated, and again, I thank you once again for doing that. In contrast, that did not happen with the county executive's office. The sheriff was not invited in. The professional law enforcement officer was not asked for one comment regarding what constitutes proper public safety. And that was, as we've all heard, the major agenda item was to provide public safety out of the county executive's office. So therefore, I simply ask the question, if we weren't even consulted on our budget and what constitutes proper public safety from the law enforcement professionals, I would think that would leave some questions open for the supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question about forfeiture funds, which usually isn't used for, I think in the audit, it wasn't used for staffing, but it was used for materials. Has there been any change in the use or the purpose set for the department for those funds, if you need funds so much for positions?
One of the concerns that we noted in that audit is that the intent of the asset forfeiture program is to supplement, not supplant. And that creates a real, real difficult environment for people who are charged with administering and providing oversight for those funds. Mm-hmm. The recommendations we had went more to some of the accuracy and consistency of the reporting and some of the underlying justification for some of the expenditures in the community. The vast majority of what the asset forfeiture fund is used for is equipment training. And to our read on the requirements for the fund and how they were administered, those uses were appropriate. There's possibly things that in that area, training and equipment, that could be shifted more to asset forfeiture without getting caught in that supplement versus supplant trap, but it wouldn't go to any kind of regular staffing of the magnitude you see in this request. It wouldn't cover that.
Inspector, what do you think contributes to the the consistent population in the jail population, and is there a way to reduce that, to reduce the amount of demand that we need in the jail? I know looking at the constitutional provisions of the sheriff, he has the power to use house arrest as a tool to have individuals placed at home or off-site rather than being in the jail. Has that ever been a priority for the department?
Mr. Chairman, the reality is there's about 2,600 inmates within the Milwaukee County system right now, the majority of which are housed at the House of Correction. We do not control who gets arrested, how many people get arrested, and so forth throughout the county. What I will state is this, that if we did a analysis of all the individuals, which we really do on a weekly basis, of who's in our jail, you'll find that the majority of inmates have serious felonies at this point. What we'll call low bail type inmates are those with minimal charges, if you will. Of course, every charge is serious in its own right, but there are certain categories that are much less violent, that are more property crimes and so forth, behavioral crimes that aren't serious and aren't violent. Most of those types of individuals are processed out of the system through the courts or through the district attorney's office. So what you're finding is a much more violent population within our jail. We actually have more than 960 inmates that are pretrial, what we call pretrial detainees. The overflow still goes to the House of Correction, and of course they house those who have been adjudicated or have been convicted of crimes and so forth. The House of Correction, after that, they, of course, with adjudicated inmates, they still provide electronic monitoring for them under a very strict guideline, which the superintendent is in charge and not the sheriff. So based on the type of inmate that we currently find within the jail, would it be appropriate to, quote-unquote, place them on home detention at this point? It's our, I'll say, the sheriff's office opinion that that would be placing the community at too high of a risk at this point based on the type of inmate we now have.
And then my last question, Mr. Chair, is this division between discretionary and mandatory, and I agree with Supervisor Roma West in noticing that these deputies that are at the entrances of county facilities where we already do have county security handling that function, wouldn't it be in the interest of the Sheriff's Department to use, you know, every position that you have in the areas that are lacking to provide support, whether that's in the jail or other things, than to use that manpower replicating that service?
Mr. Chairman, I think the best way to answer it is by actually a statement that you made earlier, sir, in regards to that the sheriff's office literally was able to get weapons through every single checkpoint in an operation. Again, I'm not trying to mitigate what the security officers do, but let's just be honest. They're not trained law enforcement. They don't know how to catch weapons. If we can find multiple guns that got through the checkpoints, it's your security. Every single elected official in this room is a potential, I don't want to use the word target, but what better word can you use? We have people that come in here with horrific domestic violence issues, child support issues. If we don't have the proper security in place, the sheriff wants to react before something happens, not after. Being proactive in our society, catching things before they take place, is going to prevent a disaster in this courthouse. Therefore, the sheriff has made it very clear. He will supply the proper law enforcement presence, which at a minimum should mitigate a lot of people thinking about coming into this courthouse complex with weapons. Just seeing the uniform is a deterrent. Seeing that we're armed, our armed officers are in place is a deterrent. So therefore, at this point, there does not, and with our society in the current state that it is, with a tremendously potential for violence within this particular facility, the sheriff has deemed it absolutely necessary to provide armed, trained deputy sheriffs at the security points for the safety of every single person that walks within this courthouse complex.
And just to clarify, Mr. Chair, the I guess test of security that you refer to, where weapons were able to be passed through security lines, that happened before our security changed their protocol and now have a more rigorous check-in process, correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Inspector. We have a motion to receive and place on file by Supervisor Roman West. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Supervisors Haas.
Excuse.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Collin.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend that item number 12 be received and placed on file prevails.
Thank you. Item 13, please.